In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. I hope everyone has had a chance to recover from Thanksgiving and maybe go on a long walk to walk off the turkey and all of that good stuff. You may or may not be aware, but today is New Year's Day in the church. So every year, with the beginning of Advent, we reset our liturgical calendar to the beginning. So this is the start of the year, and for people who kind of follow our readings, it means we're back at the front of the book, and we're in year A out of the 3 years this year. So we're at the very beginning of all the readings of our three-year cycle, and we shifted into Advent season, which means all of the vestments are purple. You can see there's some greenery around the church, and we have our Advent wreath out. And it's sort of a time of renewal and just sort of starting over. And it's sort of particularly appropriate that Advent falls when it does in our day and age, kind of right in the middle of this busy, busy time. Because Advent, in its original form, was about renewal and sort of stillness and calm and kind of taking a minute to reorient ourselves to the coming of God into the world. The word Advent, as many, many people know, means awaiting or sort of preparing for. And, of course, what we're preparing for is the great feast of Christmas, when we will celebrate the fact that God chose of God's goodness and will to come into the world and be present with us, sort of alongside us as a human being in a form that we could see and touch and know and hear and learn from and watch as he would go about the business of making God's truth real and visible in the world. So that's the season that we start. That's how we kick off the new year of the church. And as a result, we start getting a lot of readings over these next couple weeks about preparing. So this morning's reading about preparing had to do with making sure that you're paying attention because you don't know when God's going to come back into the world unexpectedly. And of course, that happens in little ways all the time. Sort of tiny moments of grace will happen in your life that are surprising and unexpected moments where it just feels like God has just sort of poked a hole through the curtain so that you can see a little bit more clearly all of a sudden what it is that God's about. But in these parables of waiting and being prepared, there's a common theme that comes up in a couple of them, and that's this sort of setting of nighttime. So in the parable today, it talks about how if the owner of a house knew when in the night a thief was going to come and rob him, he would have been prepared. He would have set about being ready for it. He would have prevented his house from being robbed. And there's another parable about 10 virgins who are waiting for a bridegroom to come or a lord to come. And they, five of them sort of have taken preparation. They've sort of set themselves up to have extra lamp oil so they can wait longer into the night in case he doesn't come until late. And there are five who are called foolish who didn't bring enough. But, you know, and the foolish ones will sort of fall asleep and not be ready and they won't have enough lamp oil in the same way that the owner of the house in the parable from today falls asleep and isn't ready when the thief comes in the night. I think this image of nighttime is a common one because of what we're up to at nighttime, which is, of course, that we're asleep. And in the early church, as they were thinking about what it meant to live as God would have us live, they didn't always talk about sort of avoiding sin as being a way of just avoiding doing bad things, right? Sin for them wasn't just, oh, I'm sorry, I hit my brother when I was mad today. Sin was about failing to live the life that God wanted us to live. Sin was about focusing on human things instead of on divine things. It was on thinking about the worldly instead of the holy. So this image of nighttime, this image of falling asleep, was a really powerful one in describing that idea of what sin was. It was this inability for us to stay awake to what God would have us be awake to. This inability to see what God would have us see. And that, of course, is the other thing that happens at night, right? We lose our ability to see. We can't see beyond us, which is one of the reasons that one of the names for Jesus is Light of the World. And so it is that in Advent, we prepare and reorient ourselves to that kind of vision, that kind of light. The imagery of the Advent candle sort of slowly having one light, and then two lights, and then three, and then four, so that it's sort of casting more and more light as we anticipate Jesus being a great light coming into the world, is an image of this kind of visibility of what God's will for us is. So I want to invite you to think about that for a minute, because that's how the early church would have prepared for its great feasts, and it's something that stayed with us throughout centuries of worship now, that we can take a couple of seasons in the year, Advent is one and Lent is one, where we just prepare ourselves to look for God coming into the world again, look for what God's doing in the world again. So just sort of start paying attention to where God's truth is shining through in a way that we can glimpse. It's a task that's always there for us whenever we're able to accomplish it, and we always sort of need help, right? Just like these 10 virgins who would have sat out waiting for the Lord to come. I mean, we can try to stay awake until that happens, but we're human beings, and we will fail. If we try to stay awake by ourselves, of our own power, we just at some point are going to lose the ability to do it and pass out and fall asleep. And our spiritual life is the same way, right? We need these moments of renewal. We need for God to be light in our life, because we really can't do it all by ourselves. And so we have to take some time to kind of prepare ourselves to receive it from God. So I invite you to think about that and to consider this time of Advent as a time that is an invitation back into that kind of preparation. It's an invitation to think about the fact that God has loved the world so much that he has made a gift of himself in Jesus Christ coming back into the world. We have 4 weeks to prepare ourselves and orient ourselves to the coming of this celebration, and the more that we can put into those 4 weeks, the grander the celebration will feel when we arrive at it. The more that we can put into this time of preparing and orienting ourselves and trying to kind of turn away from our worldliness and towards holiness as much as we're able, will help us to receive that light when it comes. It will help us receive it in the little everyday ways, and it'll help us to celebrate it with our great feast at Christmas. So I invite you to make that your prayer in this Advent time, to consider how it is that God would have you see the world, what the light of God is revealing in your life or to your eyes or mind or heart, and to take that kind of vision and to carry it with you towards Christmas. May that be a journey for you this Advent and throughout your life as a Christian, and may you find it to be a holy one and one where the risen Christ meets you. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.